Right, Ephesians chapter 5. Stand for the reading of God's word. 5:1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness. But now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit in all righteousness, goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. For all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, you see here in Paul, Paul starts out here in Ephesians chapter 5, he starts out and he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You know, a sweet smelling savor. I mean, Christ's sacrifice on the cross was to God a sweet smelling aroma. You know, the cross was horrible. Christ's suffering on the cross was horrible. So how could Christ's offering and sacrifice on the cross be to God a sweet smelling? Well, the reason is because of all the people that came to salvation because of that, amen? And so it becomes a sweet aroma to God when he sees the salvation of all the sinful people, which is you and I, right? Where would we be if Jesus Christ had not died on that cross? We'd be still lost in our sins, but him dying on that cross covered our sins. And that's the reason why it says it's a sweet smelling to God. So now our walk as Christian should follow God and be Christ, like Christ. Our daily walk in love for Jesus should be a daily living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And we saw in chapter 4 that the church as a new man, and he had a new walk, and he has a new vocation. And in chapter 5, we're going to continue that walk that we started in chapter 4 last week. But here's how you're not supposed to walk. According to Ephesians, look at it, it says here in Ephesians 5, starting verse 3. He says, but fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous, who is an idolater. Isn't it interesting to stop there for a second? If you're coveting something, that means that's what you want. You put that above God, did you not? He says you're an idol worshiper. You're worshiping that because that's what you're coveting so badly. We should be coveting with the things that God wants us to have. Amen? Amen. But he says, anyway, finishes up, he says, have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ of God. Now, he says, you should walk that becometh a saint. And what do you think of when you think of a saint? Do you not just think of somebody who's a great holy person who's already passed and dead? That's usually what most people think when they think of a saint. But saint only means holy. That's what that means. And so when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God covered your sins and he applied God's holy righteousness to you. So God already calls us as born-again Christians, he's already calling us saints. That is how God sees you right now. And that's the reason why you have a new vocation. And our lives and our walk should represent that new vocation as a saint. See, God sees you. That's what he's calling you. He's calling you a saint. It's not somebody who's dead, amen. He's talking to you. Because God's righteousness and holiness, he has applied to your account. And thankfulness should always be our attitude considering what Christ did for us. We not only get salvation, we have an inheritance that the unsaved do not get. I mean, why be envious of the evil rich people out there? That's all they're going to get. Amen? That's all they're going to get. So he says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. See, vain words means empty. They're worthless words. And the world is full of vain words, especially this time of season when the election's coming up. Amen? All right? Unfortunately, so are some of the pulpits out there in the churches. You know, they are full of vain and empty words coming from the pulpit. And words that are not based on scriptures are vain words. And the Bible words are a filter for vain words. Stay in your Bible and it'll help you from being deceived and all the things that are going out there in the world. And then he says, be not partakers with them. Did you know that later on in this chapter, we are called the bride of Christ? He loves us. And we love him. So why would you want to be running around with those who hate the groom, Jesus Christ? I mean, why would you want to be partakers with them that hate the one you love? We need to win them to Christ, not become their bosom buddies, amen? See, once you have seen the light, you should not want to be partakers with the darkness, amen? In fact, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3:16. John 3:16. They are the most popular verses in the whole Word of God right here in John 3:16 and 17. In fact, if anybody knows anything, any Bible verses off, they'll know this verse right here. And it says there in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Amen, amen. God loves you. He cared about you. He sent his Son to die on the cross so you wouldn't perish, that you could have eternal life. Amen. He said he didn't send him to condemn the world. The world was already condemned. God's condemnation is already on this world. Amen. He sent him to save the world. But most people don't read the next verses. It says in 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they may wrought in God. See, the ones that come willingly to the light are wanting the light of the scriptures to deal with their sins. The true light, of course, is Jesus Christ of the scriptures. And they come to the light so God does not deal with them in his wrath and in his judgment. Instead, he deals with a sinner in grace and mercy and compassion and love. And Jesus loves you, and you know what? All you have to do is step into the light and let God deal with your sins and deal with it now, amen? And he will give you a whole brand new vision of the world. And the reality is, that it's like a weight just being taken off of you when you come into the light and let God take away those from you. Amen? So back to Ephesians 5:8. He said, you were sometimes in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. See, have you ever been in a place where there's total darkness? Where there is absolutely no light whatsoever. I remember once going down in a cave once with a tour group. And they turned off the light in a cave where there was absolutely no light whatsoever. You can't even see the fingers in front of your eyes. In fact, the tour guide, he said, put your thumb on your nose. He turned the lights off and put your thumb on your nose. And he said, wiggle your fingers. And you couldn't even see your fingers right there in front of your eyes. And then he turned the light back on. And everybody's doing this, right? But it's absolutely darkness. Well, that's the way it is spiritually. When people walk in spiritual darkness, they are in utter confusion. They don't know what's up. They don't know what's down. This is where the lost world is walking. They're walking in spiritual darkness. And you know what? In Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Again, this Bible here, it's like a flashlight, amen, in this dark world. It turns on the lamp. It's a lamp unto my feet so I know where I'm walking, to make sure I'm walking the right direction I need to go, amen. It's a light unto my path to make sure I'm heading the right direction. Again, this is the light of the world. This is what we need from God's word, amen. Right here. Open it up. Turn it on. It doesn't do any good if you don't turn on the flashlight, amen. The same way with the word of God. It doesn't do any good unless you open it and read it and study it and love it, amen. So the world has been deceived by vain words. Why? Well, the why is because they love their sins and they disobeyed what God told them. They ignored what God said to cover their sins. And this is the reason God calls them the children of disobedience. They don't want to obey the scriptures about salvation and have Christ live in them. You and I as believers don't have that problem. We're not walking in darkness. We have the light of God's word. We have the light of Jesus Christ living in us. We have obeyed the gospel. We are not children of disobedience. We walk with a surety of our sight because of our light. And the world is always looking for truth, but the problem is they're always looking in the wrong place. So as a result, they don't, because they're not walking in the light, they don't see the things that we need to see. We're walking in the light. We should be able to put forth goodness and righteousness and truth. And if you're in the Word of God, that's what it's going to point you to. It's going to point you to what's good and perfect. Amen. It's going to turn you and point you to righteousness. This is the truth of God's Word. And that's the reason why we stay in that Bible. See, we're not trying to prove what's acceptable unto our society. We're not trying to prove what's acceptable to our friends. We're not trying to prove what's acceptable to our relatives. See, we are to prove what is acceptable to God. See, that's what counts. We're either doing what is pleasing in His sight, or we're simply pleasing the world around us. Now look at verses 11 to 13. This is what people don't want to hear out there in the world. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't want to hear it either. But he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. So whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. See, people don't want to be reproved. They don't want their sins to be manifest. I mean, do you want your sins out there for the world to see? They don't want that. So your Christian light is a light that does just that. Your walking the way of Christ will automatically shine in the darkness. It will automatically reprove people when you see you doing what's right. And he says there in Ephesians 5:14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee a light. So wake up. Wake up, amen. If you're walking in darkness, get out of that darkness, get into the light. Either get your salvation, and if you're a Christian and you've gone back and start doing the things of darkness, wake up. Why do you want to walk in the dead? Amen. You have life. You have eternal life. So why do you want to walk in death and darkness? He says there in Ephesians 5:15-16, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, circumspectly means carefully, walk carefully. And we need to be careful in our Christian walk. Don't walk like a fool. Don't walk like the world. Don't walk like you're still in darkness. That is time wasted that you could have been living and walking that is life that's acceptable to God. And God gave you eternal life based on a simple faith in Jesus Christ. All the time before that was in darkness. It was wasted. But after your salvation, have you again spent wasted time in darkness? This is why verse 16 says we need to redeem the time that we spent in darkness. Look up 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. Do a little Bible study with me this morning. I mean, many claim the Bible is full of errors. Therefore, you can't completely trust the Bible. And they're always looking for something. They say, oh, that's an error, that's an error, that's something wrong in the Word of God. I mean, do you know the difference between an error and a difference? It says in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Sif, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of the Lord." So he said at the time when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt to the time that King Solomon started building his temple, it was in the fourth year and probably it's the beginning of the second month. In other words, about the right, you know, 3 full years, right? After he was king, he started building the temple. 480 years. Now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Starting in verse 16. 13:16. "Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, saying, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manner in the wilderness." Now let me just put something on the board here. He said 40 years they were in the wilderness after they came out of Egypt, right? I don't know if this is a good one or not. Oh yeah, they're good. 40 years. All right. Pick it up again here in 19. "And when he had destroyed 7 nations in that land of Canaan, he divided the land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet." So after they came 40 years in the wilderness, and then after they came in the land, they were 450 years in there under the time they call the time of the judges, because they didn't have a king at that time, but they had judges. So there's 450 years, right? All right, continuing on through here as he talks about this, verse 21. "And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the king of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. So the first king they had was King Saul. He turned out to not to be a very good king, but he was king for 40 years. Then it continued on. 13:22. "And when he had removed them, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, the man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And we know David also, it says in the word of God, he reigned for 40 years. Now, it said King Solomon, he's the next king. He said after 3 years, right after 3 years, he started the building of the temple. And if somebody would add that up, I believe you'll come up with a figure of, what's that, 573? I can see it down there, but 573 years from the time they left Egypt to the time he started building the temple. But we just read over there in 1 Kings chapter 6 that it was 480 years when they came out that he started building it. Those don't equal, do they? Is the word of God an error? Is there a problem? Right? Are God's words vain words? Maybe brings it up to question. Again, let me bring up the point here. If you subtract 400 from 7, let's see. Let's put it up here so everybody can see it. 473 minus 480. It's a difference of 93 years, is it not? Turn over to the book of Judges. That 450 years that they were in the Judges. Turn over to Judges. Chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. And if I mess up these names, don't be surprised. But James chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Did I say James? I meant to say Judges. Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. I'm still in the wrong place. Just a second. Okay, Judges chapter 3, and we're going to start here in verse 5. And he said, the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites and Hivites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters and to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the land of Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan Rishathaim 8 years. So they served him for 8 years. So he didn't do what God told him to do. So God says, okay, you're not going to listen to me. I'm going to let you don't want to serve me. Don't want me to be king of your life. Here, I'm going to bring somebody into your life. And he made life rough for them for 8 years, right? 8 years. And then they cried out to God and say, oh, save us, save us. And he raised up what they called a judge, and he would deliver them out of their hands. But usually after that judge died, they had a tendency to go right back and start doing what's wrong. So if you look at Judges, let's do another one, 3:12, and it says here in 3:12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. And he gathered unto them the children of Ammon and Amalek and went and smote Israel and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. So let's add 18 years up here. Right. And turn to Judges 4:1. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. See, when the judge died, they start going back to doing what's wrong. Boom. Verse 2. And the Lord sold them in the land of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigneth in Hazar, and the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Haroseth. And the Gentiles and the children of Israel cried to the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. 20 years. They served that king. Again, turn over here to 6:1, Judges. And the children did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them in the hand of Midian 7 years. 7 years. 13:1, Judges 13:1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Anybody want to do the math on that? I wrote everything down right. It should come out to 93 years. Do you know the difference between an error and a difference? 93 years. When they weren't serving God, they were serving another king. God didn't count it. When they were living in darkness, God didn't count it. Amen? See, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not serving him, you're serving a different king. And he's not going to count it. Amen. See, we need to spend on things that count, that last. Amen. You know, on this earth, there's only two things that last forever. It's the Word of God and the souls of men. Spending time in the Word of God is not a waste of time. Amen. Taking the living words of a living God and investing them in another living soul is not a waste of time. Coming to church, which is God's program, is not a waste of time. Amen? If you've been living in darkness, maybe you might need to start doing some overtime to catch up. Amen? He said, redeem the time for the days are evil. Amen? Are God's words vain words that you can't trust? I think sometimes God puts things in there just to mess people up who don't want to believe his word. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. Let's walk in the light as he is the light. Let's do the things that are acceptable to him, Let's be that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable in His sight. Let's be doing the things that God wants us to do. Because God does keep track. Amen. And lets you put the sins under the blood. And then He casts them away and they never mention them again. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God for His mercy and grace. Glory to God.